Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thanks so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. It's time for your listener questions, including a question about the Halloween and Christmas parties now that we know the dates. But first, how about a word from our sponsor? And that's our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until that next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus, I can see that in 86 days, we're going to be boarding the Disney Fantasy for 7 nights of Western Caribbean fun. It's the ultimate podcast meetup at sea, and I just can't wait. I get excited every time I look at my phone for a text message, make a phone call, or post to social media. It's right there where I am, and that's on my iPhone most of the time. You can do the same as well. Drop by virtualmickey.com today, download Days to Go WDW, and turn that Apple device into a Disney device today. Again, virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1157 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and thanks so much for checking in. It's time for more of your listener questions. So thanks for sending those in, and keep them coming to Mike at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. So joining me today from down in Georgia, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
Can I just say how gorgeous it is here this week? Simply beautiful. It is springtime in Georgia, let me tell you, and it is amazing.
Yeah, we got to like this spring weather. I know it's been nice all around the country for the first week of the baseball season, and life's just a little bit better when we actually do have spring. Now that you've said that, we'll probably have a blizzard, three quarters of the country.
Of course. That's how that works, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right. But it's gorgeous here.
So. Yeah, hold on to it while you can. All right, also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Happy Wednesday, Pam.
Happy Wednesday, everyone. I'm excited because, first of all, a lot of our Be Our Guest podcast cruisers did their online check-ins and making all of their arrangements and stuff like that. So that was super awesome to see happening over the past week. And then in addition, we have some big plans for those guests who booked with the Magic for Less Travel. We always have some cool client events for when we're on the cruise. Actually, we typically don't call people clients. We actually typically call them guests. I'm usually psychotic about that. So how clients came out of my mouth, I don't know. But anyways, you know who you are, whether you're a client or you're our guest or whatever. So looking forward to doing all of that. We're going to have so much fun.
So are you saying Disney stole that idea of calling you a guest from the Magic for Less? I think that's the new rumor.
I heard that they stole the whole Be Our Guest restaurant from our podcast.
They did. They totally ripped us there. We were way, way ahead of them on that one. They had the movie and everything, but come on now.
So go ahead, Disney. No, but anyway, so yes, it's just fun to get to plan stuff like that. It's fun to get to say thank you to everyone who booked with us. And
oh yeah,
I can't wait until we get to do some of these things, so it'll be fun.
Yeah, always special surprises on the podcast cruise thanks to the Magic for Less. So thanks everybody for booking with us for the cruise. We're gonna have a great time. In just 86 days, we'll be on the Fantasy talking Disney, so I cannot wait for that. But until then, we got to keep the show going and answering your listener questions. First question today comes from Nicole. She says, "Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm a new listener to the podcast and have been going back and listening to lots of old episodes for my upcoming trip. I love the show. My boyfriend and I are going to Walt Disney World for a long weekend in May, the 18th to the 21st, where we'll be celebrating my 25th birthday. It's my second time as an adult. I previously went for a long weekend with my cousin and his first time since he was about 5. I'm torn about a few dinner reservations and would love to get your opinions since we both have very little experience. Day 1, we're doing a split day with Hollywood Studios in the morning and Epcot at night. We're really excited about the Flower and Garden, but I can't decide if I should splurge for my birthday and stick with my Le Cellier reservation, which we have never been to, but it seems like something we'd both love, or eat a bunch of the items at the outdoor kitchens, which seems fun and easy. All right, so let's stop there. Let's count. She has 3 days. So on this day, because it's her long weekend birthday trip, 25 years, would you stick with Le Cellier or would you snack your way around the Flower and Garden? Ricky, what would you say? Never been to Le Cellier, never been to the festival either. What would you do?
That one is tough. Okay, so I would cheat and do both. And here's how I would do it. Okay, wait. Hang on. Let me explain how I would do
it. I am the only one who can cheat on answers on this podcast. Totally, there can only be one person who cheats, and it's me. Mike, so here.
That's very true, Pam, because the only one that can cheat. Go ahead, Ricky.
Well, I'm doing it. So, okay, here's what I would suggest. All right. I would suggest going to Le Cellier and getting the soup and then getting a dessert. And then I would suggest going around World Showcase and snacking that way. Or you can do the opposite and just get a steak there and then snack the other stuff around World Showcase. So that would be what I would do. See, I'm totally cheating. I'm sorry.
When it comes to giving advice, though, on things like this, I always have to ask more questions to get more information. And here's my big question for this step of the question. I would want to know if they have plans to return, say, in the next 2 to 3 years, because here's the thing. Le Cellier, most likely, is always going to be there. It's going to be a steakhouse. It's going to have the cheddar cheese soup. It's going to have the, you know, the creme brulee or whatever, the signature dessert. So that's going to be a constant. You may not be going back during Flower and Garden. You may go down during Food and Wine. You may go down during the holidays. You may go down, you know, during the summer. So I always try to think about which one am I less likely to get an opportunity to do in a subsequent trip. So for that case, I would say sample around Food and Wine or Flower and Garden. But, you know, you can't go wrong either way. So, Pam, real quick, what do you think on this one?
So, I will say this. If you're spending more than one day at Epcot, I would absolutely go ahead and do the Le Cellier thing. Because I will tell you, as much as I enjoy snacking around the world, there comes a point in the day where I'm like, I don't want one more little small bite of something. Like, seriously, I want to, like, sit down in air conditioning, have someone bring me, like, an iced tea. You know what I mean? Like, these are things that, like, factor into my decision. I don't want to have to look for a place like to eat this, because there's a lack of tables, I think, at any Disney festival at Epcot. And like, I hate the like putting my food like on top of a trash can, which you end up doing.
I know. It's so gross.
Like, this is not, I try not to think about what I'm doing, but there comes a point in time where I'm just like, I just want to sit down at a real restaurant and have a wait person bring me something to eat. I want to order off a menu and I want to relax. So think about which of those things is going to be a little more important to you. And then hopefully that helps make your decision.
Sold. All right. We're going to Le Cellier. And Joanne backs you up in the chat room. She says, don't eat like a barbarian. Sit down and have a meal. Have a steak.
Don't use trash can as a plate, for goodness sakes.
Don't be a barbarian. Anyway, day two, she says, we're going to do a full day at the Magic Kingdom. Since we booked the trip after the 180-day mark, there are very few places with availability. What are your top recommendations for a good dinner in the park? Quick service would work well for us as well. All right, so we got to pick one. I'm going to throw out, you know what? I'm going to get flack for this one. I don't know. If I had to eat dinner at the Magic Kingdom and I can't really get an ADR at this point because they're going next month, do you think you could get in Liberty Tree? Probably not. That's probably out, right?
Maybe.
I do like Liberty Tree, and I don't think too many people think about that place. But if you had to go counter service, I'd just go over to Pecos Bills because, you know, it's quick, it's decent. You can go play, you know, like you're at the Magic Kingdom, you're only there for a weekend. You don't want to waste a whole lot of time. So, Liberty Tree, if you can sneak in, if you really want a good meal, kind of a it used to be more popular when it was characters like 5 years ago. Not so much anymore. Good food, though. I don't know. Pam, what'd you say for that one?
Yeah, I wanted to say Liberty Tree, especially for lunch, because they actually have some items that aren't like all you care to eat. If you want to do it for lunch, that's a possibility. The other possibility is because you're in the Magic Kingdom, you're really only a monorail ride away from restaurants that are at the Grand Floridian, Polynesian, or the Contemporary, and only a boat ride away from restaurants that are at the Wilderness Lodge. And you'll find availability at many of those restaurants long after the Magic Kingdom restaurants, those ADRs are booked up. So consider that, because over at the Wilderness Lodge, now I've mentioned this a few times, but we eat frequently at the Territory Lounge, which requires no ADR, but you can go ahead and get some of their appetizers there, and they have a lot of the stuff from Artist Point too, if you really want to do that. But yeah, they also have, I mean, you can plan for a meal even at Whispering Canyon Cafe, which I think is a great choice, and the brand new quick service location at the Wilderness Lodge looks absolutely beautiful.
We'll be talking about it because I ate there.
Right? It looks, it's like a big open lanai. So I think this was made for Florida, and I would be tempted to take like an hour out of my day and go ahead and take the boat over there and eat there. And guess what? You won't have to fight the crowds that are at the Magic Kingdom, regardless of where you eat. So
Ricky, real quick, let me ask Ricky this. Is it like a really fancy, nice Fast Eddie's over there? Could, for our St. Louis fans?
No.
No, okay.
It's not even close.
Okay, because Fast Eddie's is kind of gross, but it's got good food. And it's, well, it's cheap, so it's probably not. Anyway, all right, so Ricky, throw out one dinner location, Magic Kingdom, then we got to go into our last question and move on to the next question.
I'm going to go with two. I'm going to go with counter service. I'm going to go with Columbia Harbor House. And for table service, I'm going to suggest the Plaza.
Good. Oh, yeah, the Plaza. I forgot about that. Good pick. Good pick. All right, day three, we have a dinner reservation at Sanaa. We have never been here either, so I'm wondering which would be better, the experience at Sanaa or exploring Disney Springs instead. She says Paddlefish currently has some availability for that night, which could be an option. So would you rather combine Disney Springs with dinner at Paddlefish or a meal at Sanaa and maybe explore the Animal Kingdom Lodge while you're over there? Pam, what say you to that predicament?
Oh, man, this is like putting my restaurant expertise to the test. And God knows this is in my wheelhouse. So, I mean, they came to the right folks when they were asking about places to dine, I think. I think that they know that we have some experience in this space. Oh, golly. I really think that Disney Springs is worth visiting right now. It's just such a beautiful location. They've done such a great job with that. There are just so many great places to eat there, and there's entertainment. There's like a nightlife there. So I would really pick Disney Springs and eat at the restaurant of your choice, and then maybe get a drink at one of the other many, many choices, including Jock Lindsay's and out at the Boathouse. You can sit outside. I mean, just so many great choices there.
Yeah, I said the same thing. As much as I love Sanaa, one of my favorite restaurants on property, has the great bread service. You have the, you know, animals right outside your window. You have the entire Animal Kingdom Lodge to explore, which can occupy you for hours, and you're amazed at how authentic that place feels, and you're still in Florida. Just Disney Springs just has so much to offer. You can snack, you can get savory snacks, you can get sweet snacks, you can do some shopping. There's tons of entertainment around every corner. You know, the shopping, it's the real deal. I mean, it is a destination now. Just, and it's beautiful. I mean, when you get there at night after you have dinner, you got the lights out over, you know, Saratoga Springs and over the water there. You got the boat transportation. You could ride that just down to Port Orleans and back if you want, just for fun. There's so much going on at Disney Springs. So, you know, if the Paddlefish menu appeals to you at all and you want to make that reservation, you are not going to regret it. Because, you know, Sanaa is going to be there too. And, you know, you can't do everything on one trip. All right, so let's move this up a little faster. Ricky, I'm going to give you this last question she has. Would you recommend purchasing Memory Maker for a long weekend trip? When I went with my cousin, we didn't have it, but seeing all of our pictures in the app made me wish I did. I'm just not sure I could rationalize the cost for such a short trip, but I would love to have the photo memories. I'm torn. I would love to hear all your thoughts for us Disney newbies. Thanks so much for taking the time to answer my questions. I know your input will really help us on our trip, and Nicole is up in Oradell, New Jersey, or I should say over in Oradell, New Jersey. All right, Ricky, so what do you say? I mean, we talk about Memory Maker being a pretty good deal, but is it a good deal for, say, 4 days, 3 or 4 days? I mean, could it still work out there?
I think I think she answered her own question, honestly, in the way she phrased her question. She said she missed not having the pictures that they had taken the last time. If that's the case, if you think you would miss them, then yeah, I would absolutely do Memory Maker. If you plan, because you've bought it and you're going to plan on stopping at I literally stop at every PhotoPass photographer I see now. Whenever I'm with Brian, I say, oh, PhotoPass photographer, we are stopping. So, and the other nice thing too is that I've seen a lot more PhotoPass photographers out. Over the past few years, they're just constantly putting more and more PhotoPass photographers out in the parks. I would say yes, because it sounds like that's something that she would really want. If by chance she just thinks that it's just, she can't rationalize the money for it, you can have them take the photographs with your camera. It's just know that you're not going to get like the magic shots or the on-ride photos or anything like that. So if that's something that you think you would miss, then, you definitely want to do Memory Maker. But, if you're really just in it for the picture part and you think you'd be okay with just having, cell phone pictures or camera pictures with your own camera, then I would do that. But honestly, I think that she was really looking forward to getting Memory Maker. So I'm going to say that she should do it.
She wanted somebody to just back her up and make her feel better about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Make her feel better about it. So I say go for it.
We are enablers of the highest degree. So, exactly. Don't come to us with, should I do this? We'll be like, yeah, you should.
Yeah, of course.
It's like, I need people. I see one person every time the new iPhone comes out. That's one person to be like, you know what? You should.
Should I get that?
Yes, phone? I should get that. It's ridiculously expensive. But yes, I need that. Like my, phone that's a year old cannot make calls or post texts anymore.
No, it's broken now. I don't know what's going on.
It's ugly. It's so ugly. So anyway. All right. Jenny Lee has the next question. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My sister and I have been doing the Disney math, and we all know what that can do. We're planning an impromptu weekend trip in August. We are looking at staying at the Yacht Club during the first or second weekend in August because we got an awesome discount code. Our plan is to do a pool day on Friday, a park day Saturday, another pool day before we check out on Sunday. If we buy one-day tickets and link them to our reservation, will we still be able to make our fast passes at the 60-day mark? This trip is more about enjoying the hotel and relaxing, but we would still like to get some good fast passes. Also, I know that Yacht Club is under construction. According to a few websites I have checked, they should almost be finished with the refurb by the time we get there. How much impact do you think this will have on our trip? We aren't midday nappers and will be spending our non-park day at Stormalong Bay. Thanks. All right, so let me just answer the second part first. The construction, if you're not napping during the day, I think you're going to be fine because you're not even going to be in your room. You're going to be at the pool. And they're very, very careful about letting the construction impact the guest experience. Where it is, they're very proactive in saying, like Caribbean Beach right now, they wouldn't be giving you 75. Now, they're not doing this anymore, but they were initially the $75 a night Disney gift cards. They're saying, hey, there will be some construction here, so we have to compensate you. So, just have a heads up that there's going to be some impact to your guest experience. They've said that. They're making it clear over at Caribbean Beach. But Yacht Club isn't, they're not building a tower. They're not redoing the hub of the hotel. So I think you're going to be fine there. As far as Pam, they're only going to get one-day tickets. Link them to the reservation. Can they still make those 60-day fast passes with the one-day ticket?
Yeah, for one day.
That's what I thought.
That's it. For one day. No, because we've had guests contact us about, they're like, well, I have this old ticket, and then I thought I'd do this and whatever. Yeah, you can only make fast pass for that. So, and you'll only be able to make them in one park. So whatever you want, think about that and then go from there.
All right. Good luck, Jenny Lee. Next question is Sean Miranda. I have a couple of questions about the Christmas party at the Magic Kingdom. We're hoping to take a 5-day trip this December. Day one would be the Christmas party, and days 2 through 5 would be our park days. We plan on getting a 4-day ticket. We don't want the first day at the Christmas party to count against our 4-day tickets. This will be our first Disney Christmas trip. Here are my questions. Number one, if we enter the park at 4 p.m. for the Christmas party that starts at 7, can we schedule fast passes for between 4 and 7? I heard they don't allow fast passes during the actual party. All right, Ricky, how does that work when you go in at 4 o'clock, but the party officially starts at 7? Obviously, there's no fast passes during the hard ticket events. How does that work for that little 3-hour window of time?
I believe you.
You can.
I was gonna say. I believe you can. Yeah. You only have that 4 window. Like you have to do. You know, you only have that four hour or 3 hour window to make them in. So you have to make them back to back to back. But yeah, like I was saying, I thought you can, and Pam said yes. So
yes, you can. I promise.
So Pam, how does that work though? So they have 4 day tickets and they don't want to use their regular park admission though, because like we do that because we have annual passes. You know, because we have valid admission for that day, but they're going for 5 days, but they're using that first day as a Christmas party ticket. So will they still be able to do it in that instance, even though they haven't used their tickets yet?
Yeah, they should. It should notice that the system is smart enough to recognize that you have a party ticket and that you want to use that. If not, you can always call the My Disney Experience help number, and they should be able to assist with that. But, yeah, you should be able to.
All right.
Should notice it.
Okay. Number two, approximately how many tickets do they sell for each Christmas party? I'm wondering how busy the park is during these special events. All right, Ricky, so how would you describe, and it looks like they're going in December, so it's not going to be like a, early November party. It would be kind of getting in the heart of the Christmas party season. Of course, they don't run them after Christmas, so this is going to be one of the more busy parties, I would imagine. So describe the feel of the hard ticket events as opposed to maybe a regular park day. What do you think, Ricky?
You know, honestly, I don't think it will be that bad. The party nights, they're typically, it's not going to be walk-on, but it's going to probably be about 5 to 10 minutes or so, 15 minutes on average for, most attractions. Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, you'll probably get, 40 to 60 minutes max probably. And then as the party goes on, that'll go down. Really it's not, the wait times are not bad for these parties. It's not like you're going to see, 120 minutes for Space Mountain or anything like that. Like it's definitely in a manageable range.
Yeah, but I think, back in the day, say 7-8 years ago, it felt like some nights,
yeah.
Now, probably not in December, but it almost felt like, you're Elvis and you have the park to yourself, kind of. Not really, it's all, in perspective,
but
it doesn't feel like
they've
that anymore.
They've definitely increased the number of guests that they're, bringing into the party, that's for sure, over the years.
All right, this last one will be for Pam. Any other tips or tricks you might recommend for the party? Best times to hit the meet and greets, etc. Thanks for the great podcast and all of the awesome information. They're first timers in the mitten, it says. I don't know what that means. They're in the mitten. All right. Maybe that's a city. I don't know. All right, Pam. So give them some some just advice. When to do the meet and greets. I always say eat before the party starts. Eat between 4 and 7. It gets kind of hard to eat during the party. You get your snacks and stuff. And you don't waste party time sitting down for a meal if you can. So what else?
The meet and greets do get busy. And most people actually recommend, there are some folks that recommend getting in line before the party even starts for some of the more popular meet and greets. Like at different times, they'll be like, for instance, Jack and Sally out for the Halloween party or the Seven Dwarfs out for the holiday party. I mean, it's just, if you know that there are people that are going to be very, very popular, consider getting in line before then. But as the night progresses, like Mike said, there will be a real decrease in a lot of the attraction lines. So that's something to consider. Also note that if you're wanting to grab a bite to eat, there's a lot of places that don't stay open the whole time. So that's something to consider too. There are, especially if you want something a little more substantial, there'll be a lot of snack places that are open early, but not always.
I've thought I was going to starve during a party one time because I just wanted like meat. And all you get was like sweets and little snacky things. I just wanted like a... like a taco or like a hamburger or something. And I couldn't find
it. I know. Them. Yeah.
That's crazy.
They don't keep enough places open, I don't think.
No, they don't. But
all right. It's just me.
Barry Lyons has the next question. It is about the Halloween party. We're going from party to party. Hello, BOGP crew. I emailed the show last year and you guys gave me great ideas about resort hopping and restaurants within the resorts. My wife and I are going to fly down to meet me last year and we're going to stay off property to do some research for a couple of days, but thanks to Hurricane Matthew, those plans fell through. Needless to say, I'm headed back down there for business again this year in October, and once again, my wife is going to fly down, and we're going to spend 3 nights around Walt Disney World. We'll be staying off property around Disney Springs, and I had a couple of questions for you and the crew. Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween party dates were just announced, and one of the nights will fall on the Friday we're down there. So we're going to use that night to visit our only park of the trip. My questions are these. Number one, when we buy the Halloween party tickets, will Disney mail us hard copies of the tickets, or will they be linked to our My Disney Experience account? So Pam, how does that work? When you buy these hard ticket events, the Halloween party, the Christmas party, how does the media work? You know, your tickets itself.
So you can just go ahead. I mean, typically you'll buy like an e-ticket or, you know, something like that. You'll get an email confirmation. It really depends on how well the system is working. If you order it via the same system, you know, using the same email that you use for your My Disney Experience account, then it could just automatically link itself. If not, there's a little spot in your My Disney Experience account where you can link tickets. And you'll go to that location and go ahead and enter that e-ticket number into the spot, and then you'll be linked. Voila. It's very, very easy.
Yeah, I always just immediately put in the confirmation number into My Disney Experience. Bam, it's right there. It's going to be on my band. But I always do get the little credit card looking tickets later. You know, they show up a couple, you know, maybe a week or two later. I don't need them, but I just throw them in my computer bag. All right, number two, can we make fast passes for the Halloween party ahead of time? New Halloween party. They will not have fast passes, right? No fast passes for the
party. Not during the actual party itself, yep. Right?
Right.
Number three, can we use existing magic bands for the party? Last used 2 years ago for our fast passes, or do we need to get new ones? All right, Ricky, they're not going to be able to get fast passes, so we don't have to really worry
Correct.
About that.
Correct. Okay. Except for the first 3 hours if they get there at four. Yeah.
So are they going to...
And yes, they can use those magic bands.
Even 2 years? Probably. Well, yeah, because they last longer than 2 years. I have one that's older than 2 years, and it's still ticking.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to see. And last, if we use magic bands, do we need to see somebody at the parks to have them linked to our account, or will our existing ones still be linked via the My Disney Experience account? Pam, you want to explain that? It should be just always linked to your account, right? Nothing else?
Right. Yes, exactly. The bands link to the My Disney Experience account, and you link all your reservations in the My Disney Experience account. So I hope that helps a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I know it's a confusing system. People don't really quite understand it. Your band is just a way with communicating with the information that's in your My Disney Experience account, if that helps make things any more clear. And your My Disney Experience account is where you need to make sure that you can see all your reservations.
All right. Barry and Alexis are in Richmond, Virginia. So thanks for writing in from Richmond. All right, Jennifer has the next question. She is in Orland Park, Illinois. Hi, Mike and friends. I wrote to you guys a couple of months back regarding my upcoming Disney vacation for my son's fourth birthday. We were on a pretty tight budget at the time and only had a 2-day park ticket. And at the time, we're looking for doing something special for his birthday outside of the parks. Flash forward to today, and we now have a 5-night trip scheduled with a 5-day park ticket, the Disney dining plan, and we've been fortunate enough to add Fantasyland early morning magic. Needless to say, we're very thankful and excited for the changes in our trip. With that said, I have a question regarding Be Our Guest ADRs. On Thursday, May 11th, I have an 8 o'clock breakfast reservation and a 1:55 lunch reservation. Do you think that's too much to do in one day? We've never eaten a Be Our Guest, and since these ADRs are a hot commodity, I definitely don't want to cancel the lunch reservation only to regret it later. Any insight you could provide would be great. Thanks for all you do, Jen. All right, so they're going to basically kind of bust out a Be Our Guest for a few minutes, and then, hey, we're back. So, you know, 8 o'clock breakfast, 1:55 lunch, but it's a special place, and she's exactly right. These things are hotter than firecrackers to get, these ADRs. So, Pam, what would you do in this situation?
Golly, that's rough.
I know.
It is rough because it's just like you don't quite know what to do with that. But, I mean, if you're used to eating breakfast and lunch every day anyways, don't you think you could force yourself to go ahead and eat there twice?
Yeah, I don't think it's a big sacrifice. And I think that you would enjoy the experience. You know, obviously, you could probably ask to sit in two different wings of the restaurant to get kind of different experiences. Ricky, where do you fall on this? 8 o'clock and then 1:55 hopping back in for lunch.
I say that it's fine. You know, the meals will be different kinds of meals. I say it's fine because you do have to pre-order, or you can pre-order for both of them, I think. So it's not quite the full table service meal that dinner is, but for breakfast. But, you know, I say if that's what you want to do, I say go for it. Again, it's kind of one of those situations where I think you already know the answer. So I think if you're asking the question, it's what you really want to do. So I don't think it's too much. Be our guest. If that's what you want to do, I say go for it. Enabling. Yay.
Ricky, you make a great point. We never say there's enough be our guest in your life. You know,
right. So. Exactly. You're asking the be our guest podcast if you should not eat at the be our guest restaurant.
Which we were there first.
We're gonna say here.
Yeah. We've established that earlier in the show. We were there first. So anyway.
Yes.
That's right.
I love it. All right. Next question comes from Lieutenant Colonel Brett Stewart. He's one of my great friends. We work on his trips together. I appreciate that so much. Retired Lieutenant Colonel. He says, "Hi, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Y'all have been so much help in helping us plan our trips. We have used so many recommendations on our trips, and they've made our trips so much fun. My wife and I are part of the Running Lizards, and the Wine and Dine will be our first Run Disney race. To make the run even more memorable, we'll be running it with some college friends. It'll be our 30th wedding anniversary and our friend's 30th wedding anniversary too. He and I were in each other's weddings, and our wives are sorority sisters. We will be sharing a room at Animal Kingdom Lodge and also be running in the Wine and Dine as well. Here's the question. Where would y'all recommend to eat before the race? Since we are running the challenge race, the 10K and the half marathon, we want to eat at places where the food will keep us on our running diet. I'm even staying away from the Zebra Domes until after the race." That's dedication there. Thank y'all for the great podcast. I really enjoy them. And he says WPS, which I got to give a big woo pig suey because he's an SEC fan, even though they're our rival. All right. So what do you say for eating to stay ready, race ready for this challenge of the 10K? I'm the half. I'm the worst person because I eat whatever and I just regret it later. I don't think the night before when I'm eating because I'm just like, ooh, that sounds good, and I eat it. So Pam, what do you say? They're staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge, but that doesn't necessarily mean they have to eat there. What do you say?
I think that there are places to get healthy choices at all different kind of restaurants. The issue really is that everyone's definition of a healthy choice is different, right? Depending on what works for them. Some people try to stay away from processed foods. Some people try to stay away from carbohydrates. Some people eat all the meat and, things like that that they want. Some people, you know what I mean? It's just everyone's diet in terms of healthy is different. But I will say that I think anytime we've eaten maybe at a sit-down restaurant, it becomes, I think, a lot easier to make a better choice because that is food that, like, they always have a salad option, but it's food that is made right there. So, like, if I'm going somewhere, I know that I'm going to be able to get food that's made right there. And it's weird because even in my own local area, I have serious sensitivities to some kind of processed foods, which are weird. Like, it's hard to even identify them. But I don't ever run into that issue when I'm eating at table service restaurants at Disney World as opposed to even the counter service location. So I don't know if that gives you any hints, but it's easier, I think, when you're at a table service restaurant to see, okay, this is like real food. Like, I know this is made like right here. It has this, this, and this, and you can identify the ingredients as opposed to some of the other choices.
Good tip. Because you don't want the fried stuff. You want to stay away from that. You want the option to have, you know, freshly made things. I will throw out a restaurant that I think is really good for pre-race meal. Actually, two. Kona Cafe, they have a great noodle bowl. It's one of my favorite entrees. Since they took away the teriyaki steak at dinner, they had this noodle bowl, which I love. It's, you know, noodles give you the energy you need for the next day, some carbs. You could also get a steak there if you need some protein. You know, they have different kinds of steaks. Also, I would say, and I hate to say this out loud because this is a great, we go here a lot before races, Olivia's. They have good pasta. They have good steaks. They just have a really good variety, and everything they have there is so stinking good. It's so good.
It is. It's so good. I get that Mallory Cobb salad all the time when I go there. And like, it's all fresh ingredients right there. So, I mean, I think at Disney, it's actually easy to eat healthy should you choose to do that. It's also easy not to.
Yes.
But I'm just saying, if you make the choice, I don't think you'll have that much of a problem.
All right, Ricky, do you have one other restaurant that we could throw in here for Brett maybe to think about before running that would help him lead him down a healthy eating path for the challenge?
So I will offer up most of the restaurants do offer, whether it's counter service or table service, during those running weekends, a lot of the restaurants do offer up some sort of runner's meal. So you may want to ask whatever restaurants you decide to go to, you may want to ask if they have a special runner's meal. Matter of fact, I know at like the food courts in the morning, they offer like a runner's box, and that's for breakfast. So, but I definitely know that they offer like some specific kind of runner's meal. I'm going to suggest probably, a pasta, because you're looking for carbs. So at that point, so I would suggest, if you want to do in park, you've got Tutto Italia and you've got Via Napoli at, in the Epcot and Italy Pavilion. If you don't mind eating off-site, or not off-site, but, out of the parks, I have heard that Il Molino offers some pretty good pasta choices, which is over at either the Swan or the Dolphin. I don't remember, I don't know which one it is, but I've heard, that that's a good choice as well if you're looking for pasta. So I would suggest those if you're looking to carb up.
Good stuff. It's at the Dolphin, because that's where I stayed, and it was downstairs. So check it out. All right, time for the last question today. Coming from another lizard, Sue Dudkowski, one of our great runners, Mike and crew. I'm planning to get an annual pass for myself before our family trip this summer. I'll be getting 6-day park hoppers for Mike and the girls. Can I make fast passes before we get to the parks, as I won't have my AP before then? Or is it better to purchase a park hopper for myself than upgrade it once we're there? Thanks, Sue. All right, Pam, I know that we've done this many times. I always get the park hopper and upgrade when I'm there, just simply because it puts the ticket immediately on my profile. I can make fast passes. And the biggest reason I do that is just because I just like to break the price, the two chunks. Like I pay for the 6-day park hopper. I usually get a 10-day park hopper. I get that on there, and then I pay for that, and then I just pay the difference when I upgrade, and it's not so shocking. I'm less likely to go into cardiac arrest at guest relations. So what do you say, Pam? That's just me, though.
That's our advice that we tend to give to most people, because for the reason that we always state, and that is, by booking a vacation package that includes your tickets, you can also take advantage of some of the great package deals that are out there during that time. And I don't know whether it would apply to this case in particular, but it's out there as an option, and I think something that always works well.
And Chef Todd in the chat is reminding me that El Molino is in the Swan, and that is actually where I stayed. I didn't stay in the Dolphin.
Yay. So, okay,
I trust anything food at Walt Disney World. I trust Chef Todd and his daughter. They know their stuff. So thank you, Chef Todd, in the Facebook Live chat. And again, we always are on most of the time Facebook Live at around 6:30 Eastern. You can get in on the fun next week. All right, well, that's going to do it for today's list of questions. Keep those coming to Mike at brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Today's show, of course, brought to you by virtualmickey.com, home of great apps for your iOS device like Theme Park News Disney Edition. This one is free, and it keeps you up to date with all the great Disney news out there. Ricky, what's happening in the Disney universe this week that you could read about on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
I think it has been the thing that people have been most excited to find out, and that is the dates for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party and Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party. And get ready to wear your bathing suit while trick-or-treating, because
going
to be able to do it at the end of August.
August. I'm not even like, I've barely put away my flag from the 4th of July. Come on now.
Yep. August.
It's like the 25th too. It's not even like the 30th or the 31st.
Yeah, it's not like it's the last day. No. It is like the middle of freaking August. Yeah. So I don't understand why. Well, I do. It's called money. But I mean, nobody is ready for Halloween on August 25th. Nobody is ready for this. So I'm still sweating like crazy profusely. This is why we told you on that one listener question, of Halloween and dressing up. Don't dress up
for that one.
That are not super breezy, because seriously, August 25th is not the day when you want to wear your giant princess dress. I'm just saying, it's not what you want to do.
No, you go as Michael Phelps. You get your medal from your last run Disney race and wear a Speedo. That's all you got to do.
There you go.
Get everybody. Exactly. Just get like 18 medals and a Speedo.
You scare everybody.
I'd totally scare people. That's funny. I think there were 56 parties this year between Halloween and Christmas. Something like that.
There's crazy. A lot of parties. Yeah. But I know that everybody has been looking for this information. The tickets are not on sale yet. We don't have a date for when they go on sale yet. I suspect it will be around the beginning of May, because that's usually when they are on sale. We don't know how much tickets are yet. We just have dates. So at least that's semi-helpful.
Yeah, for your ticket inquiries, again, it's Ricky, R-I-K-K-I, at brguestpodcast.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Go there. All right, don't forget, though, you get this good stuff right here. So you want to know the details? Theme Park News Disney Edition. Just download it right there. It's a free app for your iOS device over at virtualmickey.com. Check us out on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike, and we have a great Facebook group at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And again, thank you so much for your support of us through the Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you do some shopping on Amazon, we'd really appreciate it. Costs you nothing extra. Just click through BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Bookmark that there on your desktop. Anytime you're doing the shopping, go through there, and it really does help us out. All right, well, it's time to get out of here. We'll be back again on Friday. Ricky's going to talk about her recent trip down to Central Florida, not to start her own podcast, but just to have some family fun at Universal and at Walt Disney World. So we're going to get some firsthand knowledge of what is happening down at Walt Disney World. So until then, we wish you a great Wednesday. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike, hoping that you're having a great week. It's time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.